Okay, let's start our budget work session. Finance Director, it's your show.
Good evening, council staff. I passed out tonight a cover page for the expenditure decision cards. That's that one piece of paper should be in front of you. Thought we'd hit that first, and then later on we can review the other packet I sent out with tonight. So kind of going through here, we'll, I guess, call up whoever's kind of supporting or who's the point person for these things. First was support the nonprofits. I took your direction last time and took it out of the budget, $13,050. So support the nonprofits is not in the budget. Not in the budget. And right now we have a current fund deficit of $15,000. And let me just jump ahead maybe just a little bit. The current fund deficit right now for 2015 is a negative deficit of 15. If we do make an assumption, and I think it's a fairly reasonable assumption, that with our progress so far in the four bargaining units that we have left to go for 2015, things going kind of slow. Most likely, this will drag on, if not all of, most of 2015 for all four bargain units. So what that means is probably we'll freeze wages for most or all of 2015. It'll be just the 2014 contracts continued. And my assumption in this general fund is on the medical expense that we employees keep that higher cost medical expense, whatever they're on this year, they'll keep that all of 2015. So, making that assumption of 0% wage freeze, rather, for 2015 for the four bargaining units left, now we go into a surplus of $29,000 in the general fund with that assumption. And I think it's reasonable that whether we go with interest arbitration for the police guild or mediation and then perhaps impasse on the other bargaining units, it's likely to take most or all of next year, in my view.
And both of those scenarios go the 1% property?
Yeah, right now there's a 1% property tax assumption. Yes, thank you, Mayor, for reminding me of that.
Thank you. That's it.
Councilperson Olson, then Watson.
I'm not familiar with these contracts, but say they did sign in 2015, is it retroactive?
It could be.
Could be. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be, but sometimes they are.
Okay, so I don't really see we have a plus of 29 when towards the end of the year or whenever these settle, it could very well disappear.
Yeah, it's there's really no hard or fast rule as to whether it goes back or not.
Well,
if you're a pessimist, yeah, then it would go back.
Normally, I'm a pessimist, too.
I know. Councilperson Watson had a question for you. Get back into it.
I'm just real quick. I thought we were $15,000 in the hole when we had the nonprofits in the budget. And
no,
I thought since
no,
we
you
took
instructed
them out,
me to take it out, so it's not in the budget. It's right clearly in the number one on your expenditure decision cards.
I was just remembering from last.
She was under the assumption we were 15 including the nonprofits. Now we're 15 without the nonprofits.
Correct. We're 15 deficit with the nonprofits, not in the expenditure report.
But when we had the 15 before, that didn't include the nonprofits in either.
Well, I believe we did have the nonprofits in. And, you know, things change, you know, in the last 2-3 weeks. We learned about new things and we plugged those in. So this is the current position, 15 negative. With clearly on the decision card list, number one is the nonprofits. Nonprofit expense is not in this assumption yet until you voted in.
So if we did all of them, we'd be down $28,000.
Yes. Councilperson Ingram?
You've got a $10,000 line item in here with funding available for river debris removal.
Right, from the storm fund.
At the committee meetings last week, we were told that Burlington Northern takes the the debris off of their trestle and just moves right down and does our bridge and doesn't charge us for it.
Wonderful. I like it. Can I line through that item then?
We can.
Public Works Director, can I line through that?
Yes, we can.
Nice to hear about it.
Different. Yeah.
Nice to hear about it. I'm lining it through.
No, you're $5,000.
So, but it brings it not
any more items.
If you look at the, there's a column that says in 2015 draft budget, that lets you know what is not
included.
But, Councilor Singh, I'm glad you brought that up, but it just brings a question, because if you look at the river now, most of the stuff they pulled away has only gone about 300 feet down the river.
Yeah, I just noticed that.
Clogged against the side.
Yeah.
But that would not be City of Ferndale, because it's in the river now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's why it's called the City of Logjam.
Okay. Just on the record, just saying, okay, beyond the city, we're assuming limits, that's not Ferndale.
Yeah, I think part of the thought is that
the railroad trestle is starting to build back up again.
What?
Winter.
Well, and what it is if they release some more, the one that's on the east side, but it's a fairly big jam, to use the term. It's about right across from where one of the original bridges was. It lines up with the alleyway
first time
behind
the
pipe.
Yeah.
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 I think it's
interesting.
It's so good high flow. Water right now. It's
so just to remember, it's like, okay, well, it goes there. Going to be another jam.
So that 10,000, that was one of our little... our decision cards, right? So we can just check that off.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, and we added that. That was before BNSF actually had approached us to offer
no
some
problem.
Assistance and say we're doing it.
So that's cool. Hope you can line up
we
some more of these other
decisions. So now you're five.
So let's talk about support to nonprofits. It's hard for me to figure out when I should put it in or not. We're not, you know, there's not an ordinance in front of you tonight, at least not this ordinance.
I think in regular session, isn't that a vote during the regular session?
It's on the agenda.
Good point.
The intent was for you to speak to them during this session, and then during the regular meeting, if council so chose, that would be an opportunity to vote on them. You don't have to do that tonight. You could wait till another meeting, but you know, we hope to at least allow them to speak to you because you did request for them to be here.
So you want now? I mean, is
that's
the pleasure of council. Yeah, it's really up to you whether you want to have the nonprofit speak now or speak during the meeting.
Well, I mean, they're here. I don't want to be rude. It's just hard to say yes to any of it right now because that would just put us further in the hole.
I think our hope was, or I guess my understanding from the last one was we did want them at the budget meeting,
mm-hmm.
the budget workshop, to at least present to you or at least so you can ask them questions. You can't make any decisions during this meeting, so that, therefore we also put an agenda item at the regular meeting. You can at least still speak with them this evening. Sometimes they don't even come for your vote later, so it's you know, that just isn't necessarily an impact to them, but I hope that they can speak.
So is that okay with you, Mark, if we brought those people now?
Yeah.
If we did it quickly. I mean, I don't want to take all of Mark's time.
I also want to mention real quickly, too, in a macro sense, right now if we're negative 15, that just means that we would use $15,000 of our existing fund balance.
You're negative 5, though, if you look.
Well, that's storm drainage. So, I mean, it's up to the council whether you literally want to have a budget that whose anticipated revenues equal anticipated expenditures, or whether you're comfortable saying that due to the uncertainty at this point, or the fact that the budget is just that, that you're comfortable using a little bit of fund balance next year. So you don't have to have revenues equal expenditures. It's just that you have to have a fund balance, a positive fund balance.
This isn't the Congress. We really do. I mean,
I know. I just don't want you to feel like you're so hamstrung into the revenue and expenditure side. If you wish to be, that's fine.
And you still got to the end of December. Not like, you know, we still have time.
But we have to pass the budget. Relative.
Two meetings.
Yeah.
Two
meetings.
Unless we had
Councilperson Mutchler.
I just want to make a general comment about the nonprofits. First of all, we all love them. We support them. We help them. We do other things. I guess I looked at this list of things we need, from pickup trucks to saws to stuff that we're not going to be able to do. And I don't know if the citizens want us to be supporting those things when we are running behind. I don't know if we want to spend savings. I sort of wish we could. We have years when we have a surplus. We have years when we bring in more revenues than we take out. We have years, like our homes, we you know, the end of the year comes, we get a Christmas bonus or something like that. We have more money, and so we give to charities, that kind of stuff. I kind of wish there'd be a shift, a paradigm shift in how council does this, where we hit November, December, and we say, you know, golly, we had a good year. We've got an extra $50,000. And then we could fund the next year's nonprofits out of the extra, out of the surplus. I have a hard time voting for nonprofits, some of them at least, when we have staff members that say, I need this, 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 and this, and we're not going to provide it. So I guess I want to see if council might consider a different way next year in doing this, is say, you know, hey, we had a good year, revenues are up, we can apply some of that to the next year's nonprofits instead of squeezing things, you know, things we can't do because in part because we're supporting nonprofits. That's part of my
problem. Have we ever had a year where we said, hey, things are great, we got way too much money?
1996. That was a good year. Right before the recession hit.
Yes.
That's a
great
year. A
little bit happy monthly.
Sales tax was great.
Well, do we want to, I mean, we basically, you asked us all to bring them here,
yeah.
So 5 minutes each?
Yeah.
And okay. Just a reminder, the four nonprofits here that we have in 2014's budget support the Senior Center, $4,500, support the Teen Court, $2,250, Food Bank, $3,600, and then support the Whatcom County Commission Against Domestic Violence, $2,700, totaling $13,050.
I can clarify real quick that there was one increased request from the Ferndale Senior Center to go from the $4,500 to $6,000.
Okay.
Okay, do you want to go just in the order of the list here, or Councilor Olson?
The 5 minutes is going to be 5 minutes for each group, not three people.
Correct. Five minutes total for each group.
Thank you.
I think we'd ask like one speaker for each. Okay, so let's go right in order. So we want to start with Senior Center. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Karma Wells, and I'm the manager at the Ferndale Senior Center. And so, yeah, we have increased what we asked for to $6,000. We are showing kind of a trend right now. As you know, we were hit with an assessment from the Council of Aging to support our nutrition program. We had to do a donation-based lunch program for seniors. And we were hit, it was a year before last, with a $10,500 a year assessment fund. So we've been collecting donations, which gets deposited to right directly to the Council of Aging, and then we have to come up with $875 a month. What we're seeing this year is our membership's increasing. We're seeing our meals serving are increasing, which is great. However, our donations are down. So we have a meeting with the Council of Aging. I wish I knew at this point what our assessment's going to be for 2015. We are worried that it's going to be raised. It wasn't raised, well, we just got hit with it last year, so it hasn't been raised yet, and I'm worried that it's going to be, but I don't know that yet. So that's kind of what we're seeing when we're looking at the numbers for when we compare 2014 and 2013. And so this is an important program for our seniors. A lot of them is their main meal of the day. Or their only meal of the day. They take it and they take a to-go meal home, or they eat it there, and it's a really, really important program, and we would like to see that program and us be able to continue to fund that program. So,
any questions for this guest, Councilperson Olson?
Do you have any other donation sources, Alcoa and Calico refineries?
Yeah, we've sent requests. We have not heard back from Calco or Alcoa or any of those. But we're constantly fundraising. We do a fundraiser a month, if not more. Mm-hmm. We're constantly fundraising and constantly sending out donation requests.
Did they give
so
you last
we did get a donation from Wiku just recently. So it was a $1,000 donation. I just got that check today.
Did you get those donations from those places that I asked last year, though?
I don't think so. Not from those. I wasn't there. I just started in January, so I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
You know, before that, so.
And you did several fundraisings this
mm-hmm. year. Yeah. And we still are. I mean, we do at least one a month because we do our pancake breakfast, and this month we're doing a night of entertainment fundraiser, Elvis and Roy tribute show. So we're always trying to raise mm-hmm. money to support our programs.
And the craft show.
Yeah, and that's number Christmas. Six.
So mm-hmm. Person Mechler?
Mr. Peterson reminds us that we can gift public funds for the poor, the infirmed, and something else. Do you remember what that was?
Maybe it's just,
yeah. So when the city gives funds, it's sort of going to a general fund. Does it specifically target seniors who are unable to pay for that lunch?
Well, when we get the donations in, when we ask for donations based on different programs that we have, like nutrition programs and other programs, so those stay in that fund. So when we pay for the assessment, the monthly assessment, I wish Luana was here. She's our treasurer. She could explain this better than I can. But those are all targeted when we get funds in that we ask for. So if we get asked something for the nutrition program, she flags that for the nutrition program and we pay out of that. So it's not into a general slush fund.
Thank
so.
You. That nutrition program, because you have seniors that are modestly well off or okay, you know,
and
others that we know and we all know that can't afford a dollar a happy meal. And so does these funds target those who can't pay, or is it sort of a general?
No. It's not, because it's a donation-based program. So we can't ask who's donating what. So when someone comes into the senior center and we have a kind of a box they pay money into. We don't know if they put a dollar in or a $5 in or $10 or $50. We have some of our wealthier ones that actually will make monthly donations to the senior center, but we can't ask. We can't ask, because if someone's not putting anything in there, we're not going to seek them out and ask how much they put in the box. So it's completely anonymous what they put in the box. So.
Clerk would like to speak, and then Councilperson Hanson.
I definitely wanted to clarify this really quick. Thank you for bringing up the issue on the Constitution. Article 11, Section 7 of the Constitution does say that we cannot gift public funds except for in the case of the poor or the infirm. However, what we're doing here is we're entering into basically service agreements with these organizations. So we're not just simply handing them over free money. What we're doing is they're providing a service on behalf of the city, because we don't provide that service on our own. It is similar to the way that we have a relationship with the Ferndale Heritage Society, in which they utilize portions of Pioneer Park, you could say for free, but they provide immense service at the park as well.
So there's a memorandum of understanding, or last year there would have been, and what is the exact service that the city is expecting from the senior center?
So for instance, Whatcom County used to directly do senior centers much more, and they've kind of got out of that business. City governments could also do the same thing. So we don't provide that service on our own. We don't have the staffing or ability to do that, but we do have the ability to support a service we otherwise would do on our own through these grants.
So our memorandum of understanding says something to the effect, we would like to have a service, a social food service to seniors or something like that, and we're contributing. What does our memorandum of understanding tell us that we're expecting?
Is it in the packet?
There is a quid pro quo here, and I'm just wondering what it is.
Is it last year's in this packet?
If you see the packet, it explains kind of the services that we're seeking through the grant program. So it is for providing services to seniors, food to low-income families, domestic violence services. So we have some specific services we're seeking, and folks can apply for those grant funds.
And it's not just, we offer more than just lunches to seniors.
And that's what when we notice for this grant program, we don't say it's just for meals. It's for services to seniors in the community. So
the reason I ask, I would feel better, because it's the spirit of the Constitution, that when we're tight, I mean, I wish we could just cut you a check for $50 a year, but we can't do that. I wish, so the limited funds that council directs towards whatever group, I would personally, this my own self, prefer that they would go towards the poor and the infirm in some expression of that. That's all I'm saying.
No worries. I just want to clarify that. We are not in violation of the state constitution the way we're doing this program.
Councilperson Hanson and then Ingram.
Yes. It's my understanding that in many budget situations, and this is a similar one, if their total budget supports the poor and infirm more than the donation of the city, they've passed the test that the Constitution would put on them for that particular item, the contract notwithstanding. Same thing would be true with any of the other organizations. If your total budget has more expenditure, in this case it's $3,600 for 2013, if their total budget expended more than $3,600 to assist those seniors who couldn't afford a meal or as she said, it's it includes the heat and the lights for those people when they walk through the door, you know, because those are a real cost. Well, I don't know who pays that, but pool pews for the pool table. You know, there's a lot of expenditures besides just the meals, and the spirit is still there. The spirit is that we would give in 2013 or 14 $3,600. The law says for the poor and infirm, we have fulfilled the intent of the law because their budget supports the poor and infirm by more than that.
Councilperson Ingram and then Councilperson Watson?
Something that I did not know until about maybe 2 years ago, and I don't know why we have not looked at going down that path. One of the things that the YMCA does that they don't really publicize that much, they manage senior centers. That's one of their big jobs. And the gentleman from the Y that was at our committee meeting a couple of years ago and said that, I said, really? And he says, we'd love to take over the Ferndale Senior Center.
He incidentally no longer works there.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine, but anyway, the point is still made. If why can't we approach them as Ferndale and see if you can divorce yourself from Council on Aging in Whatcom County? Because frankly, they're terrible. I was an executive chef for the Council on Aging Meals on Wheels program in Santa Rosa, California, and I know how a good one is run, and Bellingham is not doing their job, period. They're absolutely terrible. So, just a thought. I mean,
yeah.
if we could look at having the Y come on board and show us how to do it right, maybe we could get rid of Bellingham and stand alone on our own.
Well, I know that Lyndon has done that. They divorced from the council.
Just possibly, maybe, we could get some help to the people in this community that are absolutely, truly needy, and those are the ones that can't get down to your senior center. We have no Meals on Wheels program, and that just ticks me off to the point where you can't even imagine it. So,
Councilperson Watson?
I could, real quick, just to speak to that, is that we don't, the city doesn't run the center, so that would have to be Jed Olster's would approach the Y if they were?
Jed Olster's nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And real quick.
And then can you, we've always reviewed this before, can you review, because you talked about Lyndon, we have Lyndon, Blaine, and the other counties, can you kind of summarize what their cities contribute to their senior center?
Well, I don't have it directly in front of me, but I think, I don't even have the numbers in front of me of what they can contribute, but I know it's, Blaine is 50-something thousand, Lyndon is between 50 and 60,000. They're significant amounts, but that's not here or there, but the city is pretty involved with their senior centers.
So they do own the senior center as opposed to the county?
Well, no, in Blaine, yes, it is the city owns the senior center, but also makes the financial contribution of, I think it's 55,000. And then Lyndon is, I think they own the senior center.
The city
and was fundraising efforts with Lyndon, and then they get a financial contribution of upwards of 60.
Part of the library. City library.
So yeah, those ones are smaller. So.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, I did have a question.
Okay.
What is the what kind of reserves are you looking at right now? Because we're talking about, we'd have to take money out of our savings account, basically, to do it. I'm just wondering how much reserves the center has at this point. Do you have any reserves?
Financial reserves?
Financial reserves.
Yes. Yeah. We, gosh, I wish I should have brought Luana. So, she's our treasurer. She's better prepared to answer these. We have money and...
Well, what you could do is, because I don't think this discussion is going to end tonight.
Mm-hmm. No.
You could email us those answers.
Okay,
the
perfect.
Exact what other cities contribute,
mm-hmm.
and exactly what your reserves are.
Yeah, I feel better with giving the exact numbers.
And we will get it to the council so they have exact numbers so you don't have to guess.
Okay, perfect. I hate guessing.
Yeah, because I don't think we'll vote. I don't think, I don't know if any of us are comfortable voting on it tonight.
I get the impression possibly.
Yes.
Okay.
It was subtle, but, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So our next one, who's going to talk about teen court?
Kathy is right there. Yeah.
Oh.
Hey.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Kathy Beatty from Northwest Youth Services, and I am the program manager for the teen court program. I don't know if all of you know anything about teen court, but it is a partnership between Whatcom County Courts and Northwest Youth Services, and we work with the school systems because the schools provide us with all of our volunteers that run the court. It is a program that sees second-time diversion cases. So these are kids who have offended once before, and now they come before our teen court program, which basically holds kids accountable, and if they are successful, they will not have a conviction and they will not have a criminal record. And Ferndale High School is very active. They have a huge, I would say Mr. Wood probably has, over the course of a year, he uses it actually for one of his business law classes. It's a requirement that these kids participate in teen court. So he probably has at least, I would say, 40 to 50 kids a year. And then Windward High School, which is an alternative high school, has a very active teen court team as well that participates in our program. Ferndale has given us $2,250 for the last couple of years. We very much appreciate the contribution. We get the main source of our income comes from a third is from the county, a third is from the city of Bellingham, and the other third is made up of contributions such as yours. The Bar Association gives us some money, United Way. So that's basically what makes up our budget. But the program has been very successful. Our primary goal is to cut recidivism and to keep kids just from going down that path. I checked this last year, and the cost to incarcerate a youth for 1 year is $82,000, which is just horrendous. So if we can keep one kid from going down that path, we save the taxpayers an awful lot of money. But the kids really listen to their peers when their peers are the ones saying to them, your behavior is not acceptable and you can't continue doing this. It's based on a very restorative justice philosophy, so rather than punitive, we're there to try to reconnect these youth back into their community so they don't feel ostracized because they've made a bad choice. And it's been a very successful program. About 92% of the kids that come through teen court complete their contracts successfully. And I think last year 82% did not reoffend, which is a pretty high number. So it's been a very successful program. We've been doing this now starting our 17th year of teen court. So it's been around for a while.
Okay, questions to this guest, Councilperson Watson?
That's no? Because you just
okay.
answered my question.
Councilperson Olson, and then Councilperson
How is recidivism measured? By the year? Every 2 years? 3 years?
It's usually every couple of years, and that's mainly because it's a little hard for me to get those stats because I have to work with people from Whatcom County Juvenile Services, and so that information isn't something that I can tap into. They don't let me tap into their computer system, unfortunately. So I have to rely on the good-heartedness of someone there to, if I give them a list of people, and they have to go through and check and let me know which ones have offended and which have not. So it's not something I can do myself. So I kind
no,
of
I understand that. I just, having worked for the federal government in law enforcement for a number of years, manipulation of figures, and I'm not saying you do it, but how do we arrive at these figures always puzzles me sometimes. And with what you said, I can see how you really, it's a good guess, but you really don't know.
Yeah, what we do is that I just take the names of the kids that have come through for the whole year, basically turn them over to the person at juvenile services, and then ask them, can you look these people up and have any of them reoffended since they came through teen court? So that's really what we base it on.
Well, for one person, it would be interesting I don't think it would be that hard for them to do it, to give you those figures so that you could impress us with them.
Exactly. Good point. So,
yeah.
Well, if you, could you maybe ask them, say, look, this is a budget item. Could you give us a general answer and email it to us and we'll get back to the council?
Sure.
Okay. Any more questions to discuss, Councilperson Metzler?
I want to steal Councilmember Watson's question. We would be dipping into our piggy bank savings to do this.
Oh, sorry.
The you folks have reserve savings.
Cushion? Yeah, North Lachey Services.
You know approximately
has reserves.
Ballpark what that is?
I want to say maybe 90,000. I'm not sure, to be honest. But I can find out. I can certainly email you that. Yeah.
Customers Hanson.
Well, I just wanted to correct one thing. Windward High School is no longer an alternative school. It is a small full-service high school with its purpose is college preparatory academics.
Oh.
And it used to be. Mm-hmm. And I know they're trying to get that image changed because my grandson goes there. And it used to be the options high school concept. And whatnot. It is no longer. It's a full-service, small academic school.
Okay, so get some information if you can.
Yes,
get back to us quickly.
I'll be glad to. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, next.
Ask a question of some of the council members. Why are we asking what their reserves are?
Because we have
the dollar amount.
Money.
Because if they have reserves, that's all we need to know, yes or no. We don't need to know is it 5,000 or 500,000.
I'd like to know the amount. If they only have five, that's different than 100,000. Because 5,000 is like, well, ooh, that's tight for them. Maybe we should give them a little. If someone's got 100 grand in reserves, then why should I go into my savings account? That's my thinking. So, I mean, the amount really does matter. If you know someone has to borrow money from you and you know they've got 100,000 in the bank, or if you know they have $5 in the bank.
Okay. All right. Next up, for the food bank.
You don't
welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm lucky I got here. My son locked himself out. I had to race to Sun Valley. Did he tell you?
I did not.
And there were no cops.
Michael, there were no cops.
You can do and my son the whole way, you know, you can tell I'm raising him Catholic the whole way. Mom, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. He's going to have to say 10 Hail Marys tonight before he goes to sleep.
Three Our Father.
It's good for him. Anyway, so I'm just going to jump in. A couple things. We asked what our usual ask is, $3,600 to defray the utility costs of the food bank. I have a couple of comments I want to throw out there. We have just started partnering with the Senior Center, where on Wednesday distributions, we go over to the Senior Center and ask anybody if they want to get food from the food bank, and we deliver it to them, hoping that that would be a resource, right? That if they're coming to the Senior Center, then in fact, maybe they could get food at the same time. It has not been as successful as I had hoped. However, we're going to work on more publicity around it and maybe attract more food bank type clients to the Senior Center so that we can utilize that. So it's been a nice burgeoning kind of partnership with the center, which I'm excited about. Second of all, love Teen Court. I get their kids coming through the food bank doing community service. So it's a great organization. Again, another great partnership with another Ferndale organization that's putting two good things together, right? I get labor with kids that I wish they were there today when I unloaded all my turkeys. I'm in pain right now. And they get the experience of coming out of their own heads, making smarter choices, looking at people who really don't have anything, right? And so it's another great partnership that's happening here in Ferndale. We're busy at the food bank. Our numbers continue to grow every single month, and I'm not joking. We are serving 38% children. We are serving 15% consistently senior citizens. I did some number work because, unlike Mark, I'm not really good at numbers, but I like some numbers. And consistently every month we're serving somewhere between 19.1% and 19.8% of the Ferndale School District's community population, right? So that's our service area. That's one in five people. One in five people are walking through the doors of the Ferndale Food Bank. About 6 months ago, I did a survey of our clients. 58% of them are working. But they're working at minimum wage jobs where they're not getting full-time hours. So why fund the Ferndale Food Bank? Well, because we're doing work that you guys can't do, and clearly there is a demonstrated need, right? To answer your question in advance, last year we closed out with $155,000, which for me was a huge triumph because we were able to paint our building, buy a new freezer cooler for the front end of our food bank, and we updated our computers. We're probably going to close out close to that at the end of this year, too. So reserve, I would say we probably have about $80,000 in reserve. But I will also tell you that our turkeys cost $1,000 more this year than they did last year. The cost of food is growing unbelievable, unbelievable. And donations are down. The Stamp Out Hunger food drive has gone down every year that it's been run. And so Diana and I from the post office are trying to figure out how in the heck can we reverse that. So we're going to maybe this year give plastic bags, the food bank name, you know, from she's getting it from her corporate office. And food drives from the schools last year all were lower. You know, it's just donations and down, need is up. And, yes, I do get funds from Intalco. I'm knocking on every door of anybody who has a business license.
How you say you serve the Ferndale School District, which mm-hmm. includes a lot of the county.
Mm.
How do you make sure people are from the Ferndale area?
From this service area?
Yes.
When someone becomes a client at the food bank, they fill out a new client form, and at that time they're asked to present not just a piece of mail, but a utility bill that ties them to their address.
That's good. It's been a few years for me since I've retired, but I used to catch a number of Canadians in your parking lot.
Betcha. No. The only Canadians I catch are the ones I run into at Hagen's, and I ask them, you know, you should really come by and tour the food bank and consider supporting it.
Okay.
Nobody's taken me up on it yet. But
thank you.
Yeah.
Cool answer. Thank you. Councilor Watson?
I was wondering, what is your relationship with the Bellingham Food Bank? I know they have a lot of relationships with farmers in the county, and they seem to get a lot of grants.
Yeah, I'll tell you, this has been plaguing me for the 4 years that I've run the food bank. Bellingham is a standalone nonprofit. Bellingham raises money for Bellingham. Their warehouse is where the semi-trucks that come up from Seattle stop once to bring up food from TFAP, Northwest Harvest, Food Lifeline. When Bellingham runs a food drive or gets a grant, it is in Bellingham's coffers. It is not shared with us. Okay. The ICU food drive is one exception where it is a county-wide drive. The cash that is collected will then get distributed amongst all the food banks. But understand, Bellingham is about 3-4 times as big as Ferndale, so they carve off about 45% of that money before the rest of us even get to look at it. Bellingham gets a lot of grants, but it's for Bellingham. So one thing Gary parlayed me talking to Small Cities Caucus tomorrow is that, you know, we as county food banks outside of the metropolis of Bellingham need to understand we got to continue to build up capacity because the need is growing, food's more expensive, and in some of these areas there's not a whole lot of resource.
If I understood you correctly, all these things that come up, you see on the Seattle TV station,
uh-huh.
you don't get a cut of any of that?
Well,
scraps.
Pardon? Scraps. Yeah, percentage. Prime example, last year Hagen did that big beef thing. Mm-hmm. You guys remember walking through, good beef for the Whatcom County food banks. Nobody got beef except for Bellingham. And when I called them and said, hey, where's my beef? Trying to make a joke, right? Right? I got deadpan saying, well, it went to Bellingham.
So not to be obnoxious, but you know, you've seen me do that before. When you're going into a food drive that's, say, at a Hagen's or any other store in mm-hmm. Ferndale, it'd be better to just bring it right to you.
Correct. Except not to be nasty, but, I mean, The ICU food drive is a fantastic countywide experience. But if you think you're going in there dropping money or food and it's staying here in Ferndale, you're mistaken. Wow. Yes, sir.
Councilor Hansen?
Does that also mean, because Mike Box does a wonderful thing. He plants extra.
Oh, God, I love him.
Do you get some of that? No.
Here's the thing. Here's a couple things on that. Let me just share a couple things. The Gleaners program, we do end up seeing some of it. But it's usually at the end of the season. I don't see a whole lot of that Gleaners program. Mike's frustration is Mike's a big business. I mean, that farm is a huge operation, right? So for him to really give produce to the Ferndale Food Bank, I have to have a healthy gleaning program. Now, for a while, I had two or three people that were available and could do it. But I'm telling you, it's hard work to lean over and, you know, cut cabbage. It's not fun. I don't have that. So, you know, I need to do a better job of putting that plea out that saying I need more people who are physically able to glean.
Bellingham must send people out there.
Oh, my gosh. They've got 50, 60, 70 people.
I was under the impression that the Box staff.
Oh, heavens no. But I will say, just to add, just to addendum to that, if I had 10 or 12 dedicated gleaners that I could count on, that I could call when Box says, hey, come on over, then he would give directly to us. But I've gone to Mike many times and said, dude, I am a stone's throw from you. Help me. But can I say one other thing I'm doing?
Okay,
I know, we almost had time. I ran it up the flagpole with the WTA, who manages my space, right? And I'm going to ask them to see if we can't run a farmer's market out of the food bank parking lot during distribution days so that farmers can come and bring their produce and our clients can buy produce with their EBT cards right there at the food bank. One-stop shopping.
Who are you talking to at WTA?
Cindy Campion is my initial go-to gal, and she's running it up the flagpole.
Yeah, okay. I'm on a first-name basis with the CEO.
There
will be a discussion.
Oh, well, please. Please. I just ran into her at the parking lot, and she said that she was running it up.
Councilor Sanger?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just real quickly.
Yes.
Every time there's a food drive, and somebody asks me anything about a food drive, I have always counseled people to, rather than go to the grocery store and buy a can of beans,
mm-hmm.
take a $5 bill and give it to Susanna.
Yep.
Because you can buy 10 times what I can buy.
Well, certainly 3 times for sure. And you know what's more important? May I say Paul in this council? Paul. Is that I can buy deliberately.
Yeah.
So I can buy what I need, which 9 times out of 10 is meat. That's the core of most people's meals. Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you guys very much. Appreciate your support.
Next, Stevie. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Good evening. I'm Susan Marks. I'm the director of the Domestic Violence Commission. And one thing that I just want to say is I want to make it really clear, and I think probably everyone feels the same, is I don't want us organizations to be in competition with one another for this funding. I feel like when I think about the kind of community that we want to be anywhere in Whatcom County, but including in Ferndale, I think what do we want? We want people not to be hungry. We want people, children and seniors, to have the support that they need. And we want people to be safe in their homes, and I feel like that's what we're here representing. We want people to be fed, we want seniors and young people to be supported, and we want people to be safe in their homes, and those are all the issues that we're here. So I'd really like, I mean, I hear questions about reserves, and I think we all have differing numbers, but I think for any one of us to be successful, all of us have to be successful, and I think any of our organizations succeed if any one of these organizations go down. We're so interconnected. So I just wanted to address a few things. So our service, I think it's really hard to understand sometimes the commission and what we do because we don't do a direct service. But I will say what we do is we lead this community to end domestic violence. And I think we do not want to live in a place where people are not safe at home. There are victims and their children who are not safe in their homes. And it is extremely important that we're doing victim services and it's extremely important that we do perpetrator treatment. We've been doing those things for decades and we have not made an impact on domestic violence. The thing that makes an impact is to change our community response to make it so the victims get services, so the perpetrators get treatment, and so that we can end it. We end the way that our society has accepted domestic violence because it's behind closed doors, and that is our commission's role, is really to break that cycle. We want to see a day, and I believe that we will, when people will be mostly safe at home. When I think about your funding and the impact on our budget, I will say we have a very small budget. Our primary funders are the Whatcom County, City of Bellingham, and City of Ferndale. And Whatcom County and City of Bellingham pay more. I recognize they're larger entities. And then we occasionally get federal grants, and those grants provide a lot of support for our services and for our programs. But those are, we just lost, while we have a federal grant that's ending this year, we are not getting that funding continue. That has a huge impact on our services. And it's actually going to lead to staff cuts. And staff cuts means not just less employment, it means less programs, it means less. Our staff are doing our projects. I also wanted to touch briefly on the domestic violence specialist position, which you all have seen me here advocating for that funding, and I believe that there's funding dedicated to that outside of the city or through the City of Ferndale, and I also know staff time, Greg, has been excellent in rallying all the other cities to donate to that. And the domestic violence specialist is not a domestic violence commission service. It is, we recognize the need for a prosecution-based advocate in the small cities. We recognize that because we are working with all of the law enforcement from all those cities. And we had a meeting with the chiefs from the cities, and they said, this is what we need an advocate to work in the system, just like Whatcom County and City of Bellingham had. So we identified that need. We wrote grants for many years to fund that. We actually initially started it and supervised the position until we rolled it over to the City of Ferndale, which is now holding that on behalf of the small cities. But that's a government position. City of Bellingham, Whatcom County, they have people who work for them who do that. We don't do direct services. So we only have, it was like a incubation. We saw the need. We were hearing that that was a need, so we incubated it. It's not that funding. We are very happy that as of next year, there will not even be any more pass-through coming through our budget for that, because we've had a lot of pass-through for many years, and we have never taken a cent of that for our own administrative purposes. We've always passed it right on. I want to answer your question about reserves before you ask it. I will say, as of now, my belief is at the end of this year, we're going to have $13,000 in reserves. I'm using every single cent of that next year to balance our budget. And the reason we have reserves is because we got lucky a few years ago, lucky or unlucky. For 6 months, there was no director, so I guess it was over 4 years ago before I was hired. So we saved a little money that year. And then 2 years ago, we had two staff take 3 months of family leave, and we saved money that year. And since then, we've been dipping into that to balance our budget. So next year, like I said, we're losing some staff time, and we're going to use up every cent of our reserves. And then I just want to briefly talk about what do we do specifically in Ferndale, because we do a lot of stuff countywide. So for your law enforcement agency, for the Ferndale Police Department, we provide a training, we provide resources, we provide support for new programs that are considered best practice programs in Whatcom County. They're actually one of our favorite police departments to work with. And Mike Knapp is a member of our commission, which is probably part of why that's true. We provide support for schools. We have helped the schools. We have trained school staff on domestic violence and dating violence and sexual assault and stalking. We've helped them develop policies for their employees who are experiencing issues like domestic violence. We've just developed protocols. So if any staff member finds out their student in the secondary school has experienced domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, or stalking, they will have a process to follow. And if any student knows another student is experiencing it, same process. So it's to get those students connected to services and trying to interrupt that service, that where it starts. And then we run youth groups in those high schools, so the youth are leading outreach campaigns to other youth to end dating violence and sexual assault. We've worked with many businesses here in Ferndale, several businesses here in Ferndale, to adopt policies for domestic violence in the workplace. The City of Ferndale is actually one that has a domestic violence in the workplace policy, because people who are impacted by domestic violence go to work. And one of the places we can provide support to victims, accountability, and perpetrators is through work. We work with faith communities. We've been working specifically with the United Church of Ferndale, that they're helping us develop a toolkit that then we are going to take around to other faith communities and support faith communities in addressing domestic violence. And then we do community-wide outreach campaigns for Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I will say this last October, we were many times saying we should be the Ferndale Commission Against Domestic Violence, because this has been the best community as far as putting our signs, putting our posters, doing stuff on Facebook to promote our activities and our action plan. So we really appreciated that. So that was actually the end of my sentences.
Very good.
I talk fast, so I can get like 20 minutes in 5 minutes.
Yes,
really,
yes.
I've seen that before.
Questions for this guest, Gus Watson.
I'm just wondering, when the STEP grant ends, yeah, are you still going to have a relationship with the school district, and do you get any funding from the school district?
No, we get no funding from the school district. They, though, are managing the STEP funds, and yes, we plan to have a relationship. That's one of the things we're working out this year with them, is how we can support them in continuing those projects.
Okay, are you going to be asking them for funds as well? Because I know you have a lot of yeah, your staff is actually working with the students.
Yeah, we're actually trying to find ways to make it sustainable outside of staff time, so partnering with the county health department, partnering with some other agencies that are doing youth groups, and just doing some in-kind stuff.
Okay.
Maybe having interns visit AmeriCorps. Like, we're just trying to be creative and find ways to keep it going with less money.
Yeah.
Councilperson Mutchler and then Councilperson Ingram.
This is thank you for being here, Susan, by the way, and what you do. Was it domestic violence that at one time supported with bingo money, or was that some other?
That's CD's FAST.
Okay, not the same thing.
Then. Yes. Yes.
It is the same thing.
No, it's not.
I think. Okay. No.
We have an administrative relationship with them, so we pay them to do our accounting payroll. We pay rent and live in their building,
In their building. They would be the ones that had significant reserves because of the sale.
We have no access to any of that.
I'm glad I asked that.
Yeah, me too.
I would have been under the impression otherwise. Thank you.
Yeah.
Councilperson Ingram?
Well, I just want to comment. You answered my question, basically. I was going to ask you what type of education programs you've got in the schools, because that's where it's got to start.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it should start with the NFL.
We'll do that.
But really, if you can educate the kids, I think that's where we're going to turn it around. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yeah. They're in the middle school this year, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're in the middle school and high school.
Last year was high school, now they're in middle school doing domestic violence.
They're in middle school, not just...
Since we got the STEP grant, which we're only doing with Ferndale right now.
Okay. So, more questions for this guest?
Okay. No. Thank you for
great. Thank you all so much.
We have about, 4 minutes? Because I'd like to do at least a 5-minute break. So if you want to use up 4 minutes, Mr. Finance Director.
What are we going to do about these decisions?
He does not. Does the council want to have any?
We have like 20 decisions here, and I'm assuming you would.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
It sounds like we are not making a decision on the nonprofit system this meeting. Maybe we can continue the budget decision card discussion under agenda item F.
And I'm curious, can we just at some point do a show of hands, like how many people want to repaint City Hall, how many people want to, and just kind of.
Sure.
Just go through
that's what we'll do. We'll kind of go any consensus. What we'll do is any consensus to move forward on this, or just reject the card.
Yeah.
That's pretty much sir.
So, quick question on the painting. I'm in favor of painting if we're doing damage to siding because we're not. I mean, if it's an aesthetics thing, we can wait on it. So, I need.
I don't think it's aesthetics. It hasn't been painted.
Are we getting rotten siding because we're not painting, or it just looks bad?
We wouldn't want to wait for it to start to rot, but it is getting to that point where it does need new paint. It wouldn't be cosmetic.
Thank
Let's
you.
Just put it that way.
That's a difference.
Thank Nobody you. Even knows the last time it was painted.
I do.
Yes.
I remember. Back in 1965.
And they sold it to the city. It had been painted then.
I think we painted it during Mayor Lancaster's term.
I thought we just changed the roof.
No, I think we painted it then.
Okay. So it hasn't been that.
Same so it's right. been 8 to 10 years.
Okay.
Are there alternative funds other than the general fund for something like painting the building?
Is this REIT 1 fund?
Well, we don't need to remove that debris.
In fact, REIT 1 is what we have identified on the decision card.
Yeah, REIT 1 is for facilities,
and that would be a good point.
Okay.
I guess, is there any decision card that there's a consensus where you guys want to throw it out or not talk about, or where we want to go?
The police vehicles, I think 80,000 miles, that's just too low.
Oh, wait, slow down. Okay, there'll be a discussion. I think Chief Knapp wants to speak on that budgetary item.
Read your chart. There's two at 100,000 over.
Two. Not
okay,
eight.
Anyone oh, yeah, no, there that okay oh. would
is Sam going to camp out at Best Buy so he can get us a better deal than $1,000 for TV?
I want those employees to have a wonderful Thanksgiving with their family, so I'm boycotting.
No, you're not getting a TV, so that's it.
How about not to throw one that you like, National Citizen Survey?
No.
I'm seeing kind of shake. No. Okay. No. Sorry, Greg.
Survey Monkey's cool. Just saying.
Okay. TV.
The voter booth.
No. No. Larger TV.
No. Okay. I heard that, Sam.
I just sit closer.
Okay, so John said he's going to sit closer.
Let me start on paint. We skipped over paint.
Well, okay, we don't have the river debris, so you've already crossed that out.
The dump truck. Can we? I mean, I know we desperately need one, but is there.
Well,
because we don't have a $250,000 sitting.
No, definitely that's not really a viable number. We are certainly looking at alternatives. For example, Whatcom County looks like they may be surplusing some of their rigs this year. And, it could go from 12 years old, it's better than 29 years old. So
scraps.
We are making some inquiries right now to try to be a little more.
I left a message. I thought I left it with you and Bo, but I'm not sure. When Minergy was closing its doors and selling all its equipment, they had a 12-yard dump.
I think till I checked that was everything is owned by a bank, which they're going to surplus it somewhere.
Most of it has disappeared, including the dump truck, so I'm assuming somebody bought it.
I checked like 2 hours after that. Not that I would do something like that.
The Lexapol policy, did we, because I don't know that there's money in.
Do what now?
The Lexapol policy for the police department? I don't know if there's money in the police fund for.
Well, I think Chief Knack, you can probably come up and discuss all those items. But we got 4.5 minutes. We'll take a 4.5 minute break till the council.
We'll discuss later. Yeah,